You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla Deroche. And with us today, we have three interns with the Sea Grant program. Could someone kind of explain to us how that is involved with the University of Fairbanks or University of Alaska?
Yeah, so the University of Alaska is sort of the home for a lot of the work that Sea Grant does. And so we are working specifically in the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center that's here in Kodiak that is part of the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Okay, and so since you spoke up first, you can introduce yourself first.
Yeah, my name is Phil Gans. I'm finishing my master's right now at UAF, and I was actually over in Juneau at their fisheries program, and so I'm finishing up my master's and doing this internship just for the summer to do something a little different.
Okay, cool. And why don't we continue on to you, Ms. Fairbanks?
My name is Alina Fairbanks. I'm doing market research at the center. So it has to do, the Pollock Conservation Cooperative is the one funding my project, but I'm also working with Sea Grant, Oregon State University, and ASME, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Okay.
And I'm Cameron Christofferson. I am a BYU graduate. I am working on parasite viability in salmon, specifically pink salmon and sockeye salmon. And what I'm doing is trying to find the thresholds to kill off parasites to make sure that there are no viable parasites in salmon.
Okay, and so before we talk about some of what you've discovered so far and what you've been studying, you said that you were involved in Sea Grant elsewhere?
No, I was before this.
Uh-huh.
I was commercial fishing.
Oh, you're commercial fishing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk a little bit about your backgrounds and how you came to Sea Grant. And I'd be curious to hear where you were commercial fishing.
Bristol Bay. So that season, I just got back a week ago. The season ended. It was awesome. But I'm actually a UAF student. I have one more semester until I graduate. And Quinton Fong was my business seafood professor. So that's kind of how I got involved into this internship.
Okay, and so could you guys explain how you found Sea Grant?
Yeah, so I, also being at the university, just got an email through the university system, and it was advertising these summer internships through Sea Grant and, in my case, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And the one on communicating science was really interesting to me because I think that's an important skill, and so I applied, and here I am.
All right.
So my professor that I worked with back in BYU, he did parasite studies here in Alaska, actually in Kodiak also, and they were determining the different parasites located in rockfish and determining between species with a few different discrepancies. And so our supervisor, Michael Cohan, who works for Alaska Seafood Market Institute, she had reached out to a few professors here at on the Seafood Center, and they had contact with my professor and emailed him and asked if he had anyone that would be willing to come down and work on parasites. So through my professor, I was able to learn about this opportunity, and I jumped on it.
Okay, and so you guys have been here for a little bit longer than you. So could you talk about when you first got here and what that experience was like? What were your first impressions and your first experiences here?
Of Kodiak specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Kodiak. So I had spent a little bit of time here before grad school as a fisheries observer. And so that was another motivation to come back here for the internship. You know, this is where a lot of the seafood stuff is happening, a lot of the cool science, a lot of, you know, the industries here. And so to come back for more of a communications bent was kind of a cool chance that I jumped on, and it's nice to be in Kodiak in the summer. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, have you seen any bears yet?
He has. He can tell you about that. He's the expert bear photographer. Look out, Cameron Christofferson. Find him on Facebook.
I also love Kodiak. It's amazing. Love the greenery. I love all the animals here, fishing, of course. But yeah, I've seen a few bears, was able to see a bear we call Buttercup on Buskin. She's a beautiful
so he knows
blonde
the
bear.
I mean, that is like expert
they have
bear.
Names.
Yeah. So we saw a sow and two cubs last night. We were able to watch her for like an hour, just walk down the road. So that was pretty sweet. She was out by Sargent. And then we also were able to fly out to Hallow Bay, and we saw 11 cubs, 4 sows, and 2 boars. So it's pretty sweet, beautiful creatures. It's cool that they're not as territorial as grizzlies are, and that you can actually get close up to them if you're careful and smart about it with a guide.
Mm. Yeah, and what kind of projects were you working on out there? What experiments were you doing?
With Hallow Bay? Mm-hmm. We just flew out there for a bear view. So that was just
nice.
On the side on the weekend, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we paid for that, but other than that, just working on salmon during work hours and processing those for research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you elaborate a little bit on what you've been studying?
Yeah, for sure. So with ASME, they want to ensure that fish's safety and the FDA requirements are sufficient, right? And so my project is working on freezing fish to ensure that we're killing off all parasites, or cooking fish to ensure that we're killing off all parasites. And FDA requires that you cook fish to 160 degrees Fahrenheit or freeze fish to negative 35 degrees Celsius for 15 hours or negative 20 degrees for 7 days. And if you follow any of those requirements, you'll kill off parasites successfully. So I've been working with temperatures lower than that for cooking and freezing, just to see at what point we successfully kill them all off. And we've definitely seen that FDA requirements are safe, that if you freeze them for what they require, that you're going to kill off all parasites and the fish will be safe to eat. Specifically, I've been freezing them for a time, taking them out, and then using a digest that's pepsin-based, which is an enzyme found inside the stomachs of pigs. And so when we throw the salmon in there, it digests all the meat, which leaves the parasites out to pick out, so you can make sure that they're killed and that the food is safe to eat.
So what's the purpose of doing those experiments?
So the purpose of this is to, it's for safety for processors, because there's not, there's processors that don't have temperatures that are exactly what FDA requires. So they'll freeze them for the amount of time to make sure it's safe. However, we want to find the minimum amount of time in certain species to ensure that we're killing off parasites. So different species of fish have different texture of meat, so you'll have different insulation abilities in those different types of meat. So being able to figure out to exactly what temperature to successfully kill off parasites in different species makes sure that we're following all the required measures to kill off parasites.
What are you going to do with information once you have it?
So the goal with all this information is to publish a paper, and that could be reviewed by other scientists, right, that have done work, and to ensure that it's correct and accurate. And then hopefully in the future it could be used to maybe ensure better processing. However, we are for sure, we know that FDA requirements are accurate. So just being able to increase the amount of knowledge and safety that we can give the consumers.
So how will you apply this to your next year once you leave Kodiak?
So yeah, my goal is to hopefully further education, go on to a master's degree, and then using all of this knowledge, I can apply that into maybe a master's thesis. So once we get down to that road, I'll ensure to look down at that direction.
Where are you from?
So I'm from Utah, from Salt Lake City.
Okay. So do you have any intention of continuing to study Alaska in particular, or do you want to apply some of these skills to Utah?
So yeah, I've spoken with Professor Quentin Fong, and he's let me know that I would have a really good chance at getting accepted at UAF. So I'll look at that option. Also, I have an option down at BYU with my professor. He works a lot with fish and parasites, and so I could also apply that at Brigham Young University.
Are there particular parasites that you most often find in the fish you're studying?
Yeah, so especially in salmon, you're going to find Onococcus simplex. So that's the main species. I mean, you can find Pseudotera nova, but it's mostly Onococcus that we've been finding.
Okay. Does this relate to the worms people sometimes find in the guts of these fish?
Yeah, so those would be the exact worms that they're finding.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is there a way to prevent your fish from having those? Or like... Well, no, there wouldn't be, but is there a way for you to get those out before you consume them, or like what's the trick here?
So yeah, so the trick is to make sure that it's safe, and by freezing and cooking them out, you will successfully kill them off, and then it's safe to eat.
Okay. So you have been involved in documenting some of this, you said before?
Yeah, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm. And what's that been like? What does that involve?
It's a good challenge. It's because I'm just coming off my master's, I've been immersed in like the scientific language. And so with Cameron's project, it's about going into the lab with him and getting shots of the different steps of his project, but then sitting down with him and doing an interview and having him explain, you know, in as simple terms as possible, the goals of his research and how he's going about, you know, asking those questions. So mm-hmm. It's basically like a short little documentary.
Oh yeah. You're going to have a, something to screen at the end, or what's the goal with this?
Yeah, video? I have a first draft of the short video, that we're doing on Cameron's project. I don't know if it's ready for the public yet, but it's, hopefully will find its way onto the internet in some form. So yeah, that's the goal, is to, I mean, research is more valuable when you communicate it to more people, and so that's kind of the goal of my internship.
So it's so interesting having science and communication blend like this. How have your interests kind of led up to this?
It goes way back. I mean, I took a really awesome video class in high school and kind of sparked that interest, and then ended up starting in undergrad studying film and television production, and then thought fish and biology were really cool too, so got a degree in that, got a master's in that, and now I'm working, you know, dipping my toe back into the communications thing. So I've kind of been riding that wave for a while, and they're both interesting.
Have you ever considered radio?
You got a job you want to offer?
Not yet.
I haven't, but I listen to a lot of radio, so.
Oh yeah, like what?
I listen, well, I guess a lot of podcasts. And
sciencey podcasts or just lots of different things?
Not right now. I go through phases. Since I'm immersed in the science world for work so much, I kind of use radio as an escape from that. So.
Yeah, when I was in college, I was reading a lot of Victorian novels for classes, so I'd read like the trashiest things I could possibly get my hands on out of class.
Yeah,
Do you guys consume as much science in your free time? Do you have like hobbies based on science, or do you kind of like want to do something the polar opposite when you're in your spare time?
So yeah, for me, I have a huge love for wildlife. So working with fish is enjoyable to me. Also fishing, hunting, taking photography of nature. So that's what I love. So it's enjoyable to be able to work with fish and be able to understand more about them. But then also my free time, I like to maybe have a broader view of that.
Yeah, kind of like the artistic side of science. Not to say science isn't its own type of art, but photography is definitely in the more artistic area. How did you get into photography?
So I think just growing up when I was younger, I'd take my parents' camera out and I'd go out and videotape just big trophy-looking deer, so muleys in Utah. And I just loved getting that on footage and showing my friends and being able to show them this is what I found, you know. And it's cool to be able to take pictures of those memories, so it's good to have them.
That's back when you had the camcorders and, like, the big, giant recorders that you had to lift on your shoulder.
So, no, this wasn't that long ago, I guess. It was more of a handheld one that my parents had, and they'd use it for Christmas videos, like, once a year. And so I just take that out and accidentally overwrite some of the Christmas stuff on some file.
All of a sudden there's a big deer in the Christmas footage.
Exactly.
Has that come back at you now? Have your parents ever been like, what happened to that Christmas video? It's like, oh, now it's a moose now, but...
It's now Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people, they record Christmas and never look at it again. So I guess it hasn't come back yet. Maybe one day it will.
I think my parents skipped like the handheld camcorder. They only ever like had the really big one that you had to like lift within your entire body. And then they went directly to like iPhone. It's like there's no middle ground at all.
It's a quantum leap.
Yeah, seriously.
So what about you? What kind of experiments have you been doing, or what have you been studying?
Yeah, so I'm doing more market research, so not in the lab. Sometimes I'll come visit him and help, but I'm just looking at the market of nucleotides. And so a lot of people, when I explain this to them, they're like, oh, like fish oil, you know. It's like, well, kind of, but, you know, we want to extract nucleotides from pollock, you know, right now because of the Pollock Conservation Cooperative is funding me. But we want to utilize the entire product of a fish. And so, like, what else can we do, you know, other than for food and dog food? And, you know, a lot of people are exploring new ideas. So, you know, now it's dietary supplements. That's kind of a new fad that's going on. So I'm looking at the market. What are consumers, how do they use it? Who's using it? That kind of idea right now.
What have you discovered?
That is a good question. So there's three markets right now that I've discovered. So they'll put nucleotides in baby formula because nucleotides are commonly found in breast milk. That's a really good nutrients of them. So in baby formula, animal food, and for humans, dietary supplements, a lot of bodybuilders will actually take them because it increases their immune system. Helps them, you know, repair cell regeneration because we have 3 billion nucleotide pairs in one human cell, and we're constantly regenerating new cells, so we need those. So it's just for our overall health.
We're talking about fish oil?
For the nucleotide supplements, the powder form. This is my research of what I've found based on nucleotide supplements, powder form. So it's out there. It's just not that common.
Really? Powder form?
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is in there, powder form?
That is something that is not, I have not yet found yet. It's pretty under the radar right now, just because it's not that big of a market. And when companies are marketing this new dietary supplement, they don't really tell a lot of detail of it yet. So my job is to kind of overlook the overall market and then dig deeper. So that's kind of the stage I'm at right now.
Okay. Has there been some kind of trend away from fish oil and like pill form to the powder stuff?
Kind of. You know, I've overlooked a little bit of the fish oil. It's still there. The market's definitely still there. But I'm also looking at, like this morning I was looking at how do we utilize fish products like the salmon heads. You know, a lot of people in the Asian market especially will put them in soup. So I'm just kind of looking at what do people do with the parts of the fish that no one really uses.
I was just talking to someone earlier who was saying she was out in a village and people boil the heads and they snack on them.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of different things. I mean, people incorporate that into their diets commonly, maybe not in the general American public is not
part
lacking. Of the Western diet.
We're not eating as much seafood as any other country, really, especially the millennials right now.
And come on, millennials.
I know. That's us. But
that's most of us in this room right now. I had never heard of a powdered form. It feels like there's always a new form or a new product that kind of gets popular.
Right.
How are you going to apply this to what you're going to do after your internship?
Ooh, that's a great question that I think about every day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what am I going to do after graduation? Because I have one more semester left. So, you know, I really do like doing market research. And I'm in the BA fisheries program, so concentration in business. And my minor is marketing. So I'm trying to, you know, tie those two together. So this internship is perfect. But after this, who knows, right?
Right. And have you guys learned anything in particular from the professionals you've been working with? It was Quentin Fong, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Quentin's awesome. Yeah. He's very helpful. And also Chris Nito and Julie, I don't know how to pronounce
Matt Wiu.
She's great. They're great over there.
Have you been helping them with their research at all, or is that not part of the job description?
No, they've been... you were helping Julie a little bit.
I've helped her a little bit, but she's actually had her own high school intern, which has been awesome.
Yeah, they've been mentoring us a lot, which is great.
Mm-hmm. We've also worked a little bit with Chris and Ito and on his pollock row study. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to determine different ways to prepare pollock row to make it more appealing to the consumer. And so me and Alina were able to make some pollock, use pollock row and to make sushi and to try and make some sushi that's appetizing with pollock row.
Eating sushi during work hours is great. It's awesome.
So what have you guys been doing on that project?
So we didn't have too much exposure to it, but we were able to work on him with one batch, be able to pull out the pollock roe and make sure it's the right texture, right consistency and flavor, and then we were able to prepare it with sushi. So we were able to try it, and being in Utah, I haven't had a lot of exposure to sushi, so it's kind of different for me, but Alina seemed to like it.
I really liked it.
So,
yeah.
Did you missed out.
You what?
I missed out. This was
you
before
did.
I got here.
You could have asked. You could have asked, like, ask them to pull out the roe from the fridge and be like, "Can I just have a little taste of this experimental roe, please?"
I want some.
Have you had roe before?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Actually,
like,
yeah.
It's strong reaction.
I love roe. Yeah, actually, when we were commercial fishing in Bristol Bay, we would just take roe out and eat it while we were fishing.
It's
a good snack.
I went to a party, and this was like about when I started having roe locally, and I was with a fisherman there, and he said that he wouldn't eat it raw. It, like, had to be treated first, because he said there was a potential of carrying disease.
Ooh.
What do you think?
We're looking at you.
So, yeah, I mean, there are a few potential different diseases. I can't remember exactly the name of them, but they've been doing studies, and a lot of times when they do have those diseases, you can kind of smell it. You can kind of tell beforehand, but there's a lot of workers, scientists out there that do tests for those diseases. So if you're going to get it from a facility that's sold to like a marketplace or a store, then it shouldn't have any diseases. But if you're catching it on your own, then you'd want to be careful.
Right? That makes sense. I mean, that's why you need a FDA regulations and to understand how to treat the roe before you sell it. I heard that roe is pretty popular among Asian markets.
Oh yeah.
Which, do you know which ones in particular, or is it just like the Asian market?
China, Japan, they do a lot of raw fish. I mean, those are probably the number two or the two biggest that we sell to, I guess, in Alaska.
Is there one in particular, one type of roe that's the most popular?
I believe sturgeons. Their roe is very popular, and sturgeon in different area. I mean, there's a sturgeon, I believe, in the Middle East, where they sell the roe in, like, gold-plated cans, and that they're, like, sold for thousands and thousands of dollars. So,
I think the original caviar is, like, beluga sturgeon or something from somewhere, but...
And chum roe is really popular.
Chum roe?
Yeah, chum roe is, if you compare it to chum roe to sockeye, chum is a little bit, like, buttery, more, if that's a good way to explain it, kind of, like, softer and good texture, it's really popular there.
What are the ideal traits of roe? Do you want it super salty, or do you want it like...
Oh, it totally depends, I guess, on who's buying it, but I think they just have it, they'll do a lot of sockeye roe, chum roe, any roe really, they'll just put it over their rice and eat it, or eat it plain. Yeah.
So actually, we met like a couple of months ago, just by mistake, or by chance, really. It's not by mistake, it's by chance. So you were here for a little bit. Could you explain a little bit?
Yeah, so I was done with the spring semester at UAF, and then after my finals, like the day after, I came down here. So I've been here for a month, May, and then beginning of June, I went to Bristol Bay for a month and a half, and I just got back, so...
Okay. Had you fished before?
I fished last year with my dad, yeah.
Oh,
on his boat.
Oh, he's a fisherman. Okay.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I worked at a Leader Creek Fisheries processing for 3 years, and then I wanted to get on a boat. So I know a little bit about the processing side and then the fishing side, and now I'm just really interested in the marketing aspect of it.
What's your dad's background?
Oh, gosh. He would love to talk about that, as all fishermen do. At age 16, he walked the docks and started fishing and has trawled and squid fished in California.
Squid
and
fished, wow.
Seined here and gill netted. And, yeah, I think we said that he's fished in Bristol Bay for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves it.
So you grew up with fishing in your...
Oh, yeah. We grew up with salmon and tons of seafood on our plates, yeah. So I've always loved it.
And I am dying to ask about your last name. Are you... could you give an explanation, or you just... yeah. You happen to be named Fairbanks, or is there a connection?
Yeah, I get a lot of that.
Yeah, I bet.
So I actually, a lot of people ask me if I grew up in Fairbanks. I didn't. I'm from Bellingham, Washington. But just happened to have the last name Fairbanks and moved up there and related to Charles Fairbanks, if anyone knows who that is. And yeah, that's it.
So did part of you want to move to Fairbanks because you happen to be called Fairbanks?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if you protest, I'm going to say that you did because of...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So did you guys want to come to Alaska? Has that been an appeal to you before coming here?
I seem to keep coming back here. So, yeah, that will probably keep happening.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I've always wanted to come to Alaska because it's amazing fishing, wildlife, nature. It's a beautiful place. And I was able to go last year on a fishing trip for research through my university. So that was great. It was only a week. And it was kind of funny. I was at work, and I was talking with my team where I worked before I came here. And I was like, it'd be amazing just to be able to go and work in Alaska for a summer. And then, like, a few months later, I got the opportunity. So super lucky. It's awesome.
Yeah. So we just have a few more minutes. Did you want to say or add anything about your studies or what you hope to accomplish before you wrap up here?
We were just talking that you wanted to do another video, maybe.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to be putting together at least another video or two about all the cool stuff that's going on with seafood here and the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center is just a great place to be because they're doing all this cool experimental stuff with seafood, and it's just such a great resource. You know, people can come in with ideas about how they want to process their food and get helped out with that, and it's just really cool to be around that and try to communicate some of it to the public.
And so besides focusing on some of your other interns' studies, what else would you want to focus on for a video?
The couple of ideas I've had are doing maybe the science behind smoking fish, how that works, what are the different elements of that. Another one is doing a video about the different steps that processors go through to make sure that, you know, food is safe for consumption, similar to Cameron's study, but also that the quality of fish is maintained, and basically things to help the industry and communicate a little science to the public and champion Alaska seafood.
So when you do these videos, would most of your sources be inside the building or within UAF?
I've been trying to branch out and talk to as many people as I can. Processors here locally, it's a great place to be for that. And there's just a wealth of knowledge out there. So you got to go talk to people.
Yeah, have you found many people who are willing to invite you in to record them smoking fish or something like that?
I haven't said that. I just had that idea this morning, so I'm not
Well, if anyone wants to volunteer, if anyone wants to volunteer, you can call the station and we'll put you in contact with them.
Yeah.
If you want to give the public some insight into delicious food, that's always much appreciated.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah. So I believe we have 2 more minutes, but we're going to wrap up now, and thank you guys so much for joining us on Talk the Rock. I hope you enjoy the rest of your scientific studies here on the island, and that when do you guys head off?
So I leave the last day of this month, so August 31st, I believe.
Yeah. Same for me.
August 23rd.
All right. Mm-hmm. You've got to do a lot of fishing before you go and do a lot of hiking.
Yeah. As much as we can.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.